Could I ask the congregation please to be upstanding while the remains are brought into the church? Thank you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Please be seated. Let me first of all give you all a warm welcome to Refrailim Baptist Church here this afternoon. We welcome those who are standing outside. We welcome those who have joined us online, whether in sermon audio, Facebook or YouTube. We thank you for tuning in, and we thank all who have met here in the building. Under normal circumstances, this building would never have been adequate to hold all who would want to be here to pay their respects to Raymond and to comfort and to encourage the family in these days. But we're living in strange times, and we do thank the Lord that we're able to meet even in a fashion like this. I want to express my sympathy, first of all, and I'm sure you all would join with me, to Janet, to Amanda and Gary and Evie Ray, to Oliver and Edgar, to Wilson, Dorothy and Alana, and to the wider family circle. And we do trust that you will know the sincerity of our deepest sympathy and the continued prayers of the assembly here in Refrailim. We want to commence our service with the first hymn in the order of service, In Christ Alone. We're going to sing with Mass on. Raymond was very adamant that Mass would be worn. Even at the drive-in church, Raymond would have his mask with him because he wanted to protect others and he wanted to protect himself. And so, if only to honour him, we'd wear masks as we stand and sing In Christ Alone. Thank you. Let's stand. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. His cornerstone, this solid ground, his trod and stone. Heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. Comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, Light of the world, by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day. Up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand. Please be seated. The connection with Refrailing Baptist Church goes back for many years with the McMullen family, and I'm sure it was a joy to them when one of their own, Keith Lindsay, took up the pastorate here a number of years ago. It's good to have Pastor Keith Lindsay with us, and I'm going to ask Keith to come now and open our meeting in a word of prayer. Thank you, Keith.
Let's just pray together, please. Lord, we draw aside into your holy presence again this afternoon. And Lord, we thank you we can come into your house, and we thank you, Lord, that we can come right into your presence. Father, we thank you that we bow again this afternoon, Lord, before the one who is almighty, the creator of the universe, the creator of each one of us. Thank you, Lord, that we bow before the one today who is all holy, the one to whom the angels veil their faces and cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Thank you, we come before the one today who is all-powerful, the one who is all-loving. Thank you, Lord, that you remind us again and again in your word that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank you, Lord, as we bow in your presence this afternoon, that you're the all-knowing God. Lord, you know exactly why we're here this afternoon. You know the circumstances of today. And Lord, we thank you that you know each heart of every individual who's here. Lord, we've been already reminded at the home today from the pastor, Lord, of how the Lord Jesus cares. How that he wept at the grave of his friend Lazarus. How that he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities today. We thank you that your word reminds us that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. And Lord, we thank you that you promise to be with us, to never leave us or never forsake us. And Lord, we pray at the very beginning of this Thanksgiving service this afternoon, Lord, that you will pour in the oil of joy for mourning. We thank you, Lord, for Raymond. We thank you for Raymond's life. We thank you, Lord, for the memories that each one who's listening today have of Raymond themselves. Thank you for the precious memories. Thank you, Lord, for the fun and the times together that each one has had with him in the past. We thank you, Lord, for his love for his family. We thank you, Lord, for his love for his friends. And Lord, we thank you that we can commend each one of them to you today. Lord, we do bring Janet to you today. And Lord, we pray that she will know the comfort of God, that she will know the strength of God, and she will know, Lord, the grace of God even today. Lord, that you'll give her that help that she needs. We bring, Lord, Amanda and Gary to you, and little Evie Ray, And Lord, again, we just commend them to you, praying, Lord, that they too will know your help and know your touch today upon them. We remember Wilson and Dorothy and Alana. We commend them to you, Lord. We commend again Olivia and Edgar to you as well. And we thank you, Lord, that around about and underneath are your everlasting and your ever-loving arms. We commit the whole family circle to you today. You know the hearts. You know the breaking hearts today. And we thank you, Lord, that you're the one who can heal the broken heart. Father, we just pray for Pastor Wilson as he shares your word later on. Lord, that you'll help us as he brings comfort and challenge to all of our hearts. Bless him, we pray today. Bless, Lord, Wilson as he takes part and others who take part today too. We just, again, thank you for this time that we can spend together. We thank you for this Thanksgiving service. But Lord, we are reminded in James, but what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Help us, Lord, to consider our ways today. Father, we just thank you we can cast our care upon you because you're the one who cares for us. Bless this time together. Give help. Give your strength and comfort as we commit ourselves to you just now for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.
Thank you very much, Keith. And as Keith has intimated in his prayer, Wilson is going to come now, and Wilson's going to say a little bit about his brother, Raymond. Thank you, Wilson.
You can't really sum up my brother in 2 minutes. He was such a character. About 2 weeks ago, my wife called 999, and I was taken by hospital to the A&E in the Royal Victoria Hospital. I had had a heart attack before, and I was suffering similar symptoms. But 12 hours later, I was being discharged from the hospital with a clean bill of health. And I commented to the doctor that I was very much relieved, but no doubt there would be many who would go into the A&E department and they don't get such good news, and they never see their home again. Little did I know that my brother would be one of those unfortunate people. When on Monday the 30th of August, Janet had to ring 999, and Raymond was taken by ambulance to the A&E in Uri, and he was never to return home again alive. Passing away on Thursday morning. I have been struggling to decide what I should call my brother during this eulogy. Should it be Raymond? Should it be Stroke? Should it be Big Stroke? Should I ask you all in his remembrance to stroke your necks? Or to turn around to the person beside you and say, are you sick of it? These two phrases became Raymond's trademark, and hundreds of people up and down Northern Ireland and of all ages and sizes can be heard saying, are you sick of it? These are the phrases he either greeted you with or he tortured you with. And especially his two aunts, Aunt Aggie and Auntie Jean. When they came to visit him in the house, there were times he wouldn't even let them leave until they physically stroked their neck or they had to say, stroke your neck. He was that sort of character. But I can assure you of this, that after many years of suffering pain, he was absolutely sick of it. Sick of hospital and sick of the pain that he had to endure day after day. When I refer to Big Stroke, I recall the day he was married to Janet in Banbridge. He had to kneel at the altar in front of the church, and as he did so, the soles of his shoes were visible to everybody in the congregation. And on the soles of the shoes was written, Big Stroke, bringing a ripple of laughter from everyone gathered in the church. Born on the 1st of May 1961, he was just over 4 years younger than I was. But any time we were together, He always told everyone that he was the one with the looks and the brains. I was just reminded that when Raymond was born, he actually had spent the first 12 months of his life with his Aunt Aggie, or our Aunt Aggie, should I say. My mum had to spend 1 year in Musgrave Hospital after Raymond was born with tuberculosis, and his Aunt Agnes had to bring him up. Nobody really could tell me where I went during that year, and I'm still, if any of you know where I was during that year, please tell me. There are many memories that I have of us growing up together. On one occasion, we both were taking our newly born sister, Olivia, for a pram ride up the, or pram walk up the road. Out of sight of the house, my brother Raymond took control. The pram handle became the steering wheel, and the pram became a Formula One racing car, and off he went, and the pram landed up the hedge, tumbling over on the ground, and my sister popped out of it, banging her head in the road. That explains my sister's wee problem, by the way. Playing in the sandpit again at our Auntie Ivy's house, Raymond and I had a little bit of an argument on one occasion, and he lifted the trowel, which has very sharp edges on it, and he actually split my upper lip open in two, and he damaged one of my front teeth. And 50 years later, I am still suffering the consequences of that smash on my teeth, but I'm not going to tell you why. I can remember gathering in the bales of hay, and that became another source of conflict and rivalry between us. Who was going to get driving the tractor in first and second gear through the field? Whoever got onto the tractor had the easy job. The other person had to go and haul the bales toward the trailer to put the bales up. Now, most of the time, you probably can guess who plumped himself on the tractor and got the easiest job. Growing up, we played draughts together with elderly uncles. We threw rings at a ring board in the house at night time. And unknown to my father, he often enjoyed a game of cards with his Uncle Tommy across the road. He was on the school hockey teams, and he played a lot of football and became an expert in throwing darts. As I was growing up, my father wouldn't permit television in the house. That was the devil's box. But when Raymond came to a certain age, he got a TV okay. Because my father realised that Raymond was going to the neighbours and going to the local pub to watch the football and the darts matches. So Raymond got a TV put into the house. Believe it or not, those of you who are here representing the Loyal Sons of Baena, I was there on the very first night that the band was formed. It was my first and last night. My father wouldn't let me go back. But when Raymond got to a certain age, he went along all right. He was allowed to stay. He learned how to play the flute. He became a drummer. And not only that, but he became the chairman of the band, a position he held for over 40 years. That band meant everything to him. He was so proud to be a member of it and his chairman. Despite being so unwell, his last glimpse of the band was on the last Saturday last week when he went to see the band parading through Newry. Raymond loved that band, and the band members loved him. And I'm just going to quote their tribute that they put on social media. As we approached Raymond on the parade, a whisper would travel through the ranks. Their stroke. Immediately everyone would straighten up and play to their very best. Nothing else was acceptable. We love you, and will always keep the beat going. The only good thing that Raymond took from me was my support of Leeds United. He was a passionate supporter, and I don't know if you noticed the colours on the wreath in front from the family. Those are the colours of Leeds United. And I don't know if you noticed in the hall, there was a signed football jersey that Pastor Wilson organised through Stuart Dallas. And that signed football shirt was brought over, and Pastor Wilson arrived at the house with the football shirt. He was indeed a passionate Leeds United supporter. On leaving school, Raymond served his time with Billy Moore before going out on his own. And before going out on his own, he worked with David McMillan. My mother and father didn't always approve of the things Raymond got up to or the decisions he often made. But one thing they did approve of, and that was his choice of wife. He met, fell in love with, and married Janet in March 1989. And Janet became a stabilising influence in his life. Janet, you have been by his side through thick and thin the whole way, and you have the patience of Job. If Raymond was sitting relaxing on the chair and he needed something, you would hear, "Janet?" Now, if Janet didn't respond immediately, it went, "Janet?" If Janet didn't respond, you heard, "Janet, are you deaf?" And of course, Janet was there by his side. That was quite a regular happening, by the way, I'm not joking. Amanda was born in September 1990, a daughter he was so proud of and idolised. When she married Gary in September 2013, Gary and Amanda started living with Raymond and Janet in the house. Now, some people expressed to me their misgivings about such an arrangement, but for me, it represented a father's love for his daughter, a daughter's love for her father, and it revealed Raymond's approval of her chosen husband, Gary. That successful family arrangement still exists to this day, but will be one member short from now on. Raymond was a joker. He wasn't afraid to offend anyone, and he was a bit of a messer. Let's be honest about that. And I probably couldn't tell or relate to you many of the things that he got up to in a church building, but you probably know what he got up to more than I did. I remember, or I was told this story, that when he was painting Bullock's funeral parlour, there was an upright coffin, and he actually got into the coffin, and he hid in there and until his mate, Kieran, who was working with him, came along, and he scared the living daylights out of Kieran when the coffin lid popped open. He was forever tormenting people, asking them, "What size are you?" Or if my sister Olivia was visiting somewhere, he asked her, "Were you the fattest one there?" Nearing the end of the COVID restrictions, to which he rigorously applied all the regulations, he asked Olivia, who had come to visit, "Are there any word of you gone home yet?" During his life, Raymond suffered a lot. Approximately 23 years, he broke his hip when someone jumped on his back. In 1990, one of his fingers was torn off or degloved when his wedding ring caught in a fence when he was jumping over to try to get into a football match. I think probably trying to prevent pain at the style going in. Around 2003, he took a very serious bowel abscess. He fell one time off a scaffolding very high up in a local hall here. His fibula and tibia came out through his skin. His ankle was completely shattered, and he had to get a big fixator to hold his ankle in place, and he was out of work and lying at home for months and months and months. Raymond was diagnosed with diabetes many years ago, and this impacted his life greatly, resulting in one leg being amputated below the knee in May 2013. Amanda was due to get married just a few months later, and Raymond made every effort to be there. And one of his proudest moments was being able to walk Amanda up the aisle. Unfortunately, Raymond's diabetic problems escalated. And in October 2015, his second leg was amputated below the knee, leaving him with two prosthetic limbs. His troubles continued. In November 2019, he went to hospital with a chest infection, which ended up being pneumonia. He suffered cardiac arrest or a heart attack, and after CPR being administered for 5 to 6 minutes, he was eventually revived again. At that point in time, he entered into a very dark, confused place in his mind, And he told the doctors if he ever suffered cardiac arrest again, they were never to resuscitate him. And that disturbed the family greatly. But out of this dark tunnel, a beacon of hope and light shone. And it came in the form of the birth of his granddaughter. Evie Ray, who was born in February 2020. He was besotted by her. This child brought him the happiness and joy that he really needed in his life. And as well as being called Big Stroke, he now had another name, Gaga. Gaga loved Evie Ray with all his being. In recent times, Evie Ray would wake up in the morning and she would go into his room and help him put on his artificial leg. She would spend endless amount of time on his knee giving, and he would be giving her drinks of tea, reading to her. Often she would use the same book that he was reading to her to bash him over the head or swipe the glasses off his face. It goes without saying, Evie will miss her Gaga, as we all will as well. During COVID, Raymond was extremely careful about who he let in. In fact, he didn't let anybody into the house. And that didn't prevent him from jumping into the car, fully masked, and spending hours with Kenny, his cousin. While Raymond sat up in the car, comfortable and warm, never getting out, Kenny would have to sit in the door of the garage, foundered, as the saying is. Kenny, you were like a big brother or a brother to him. He enjoyed the crack and the banter with you and every moment he spent with you. This past year was a brighter time for him in his life, but he went downhill very, very quickly. The past month, he ended up in hospital again. His organs began to fail. He took double pneumonia. He got sepsis. His kidneys failed. His oxygen level lowered. As did his blood pressure. On Thursday morning, he was thoroughly sick of it, and he passed from this life to the next. Raymond, Stroke, Gaga, you will be missed by your family and everyone who knew you. And dear brother, I hope you took the opportunity presented to you before you died to make it right in your heart with the Lord Jesus. And hopefully today, you are reverently stroking your neck in heaven, a place where you have a new body, and you will never be sick of it. The little hymn says, where hymn says, life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, be in time. Friends, you know, Raymond, when you have the time, take the time to give your life to Jesus Christ, who can become your Lord and Saviour.
Amen. Thank you, Wilson. That was a right 2 minutes, wasn't it? I want to come to the Word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm just going to share a few thoughts from the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And reading just two verses, verse 21 and 22, please. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And we trust God will bless his word to our hearts this afternoon. I've already expressed sympathy to Janet and the family. And what can I say about Raymond that Wilson hasn't already said? The first time that I met Raymond, in fact, I didn't meet him. I was told he was in hospital, hadn't a clue who he was, didn't know who the McMullins were. I just arrived here in 2012. Raymond was in Craigavon, and so I called in one morning. Somebody said, Raymond's there, go and see him. And one of the nurses went in and said, there's a man, Wilson, here, do you want to see him? And he says, I don't. So he hunted me. He maybe thought I was Wilson, not Pastor Wilson, I'm not sure. But he became very apologetic, and him and I became good friends. And I love spending time with Raymond. I love the conversations and the banter that we had together. I never forget Amanda's wedding. And I remember him walking down the aisle. We Baptists are not into clapping hands. But I knew the battle that Raymond had to walk Amanda down the aisle. And I remember walking down the aisle, I was in tears myself. And I just said to the people, just give Raymond a round of applause. And it was one of the happiest moments of his life. And then, of course, his granddaughter brought him further happiness. It was a joy to know Raymond. It was a joy to spend time with Raymond. Raymond had no legs, but he had a big heart. I remember him telling me the story about his dog called Mac. And we had a dog called Mac. We still have a dog called Mac. And he told me how Mac had got to the stage where the vet said there's just no hope for Mac. He couldn't take him to the vet. I think Amanda took the little dog to the vet. He says, you know, in the morning he was going to the vet and I said, Mac, come and give me a kiss. The little dog climbed up and licked the face of Raymond. He said I couldn't take him to the vet. So Amanda had to go to the vet. The little pup was put down. But he says, if you look out through the window, you'll see a little headstone. And then the little headstone, he says, every time I look out, I can think of Mac. Of course, we had a dog called Mac. When I told the wife, she was in floods of tears. Raymond was a man with a big heart. A good friend, someone who enjoyed football, big Leeds United fan. When I heard that, my mother was a Dallas, and Stewie Dallas is from Coke, and I know people who are very friendly with Stewie, and I told him the story about Raymond having lost both legs, and Stewie immediately sent over a shirt for Raymond, which I was so delighted to take to him, and he told everybody about this shirt that he got, and I'm pleased that I was able to bring even a smile to the face of Raymond. This is a day we probably hoped would never come. There's a famous man once called William Saroyan. He was a famous author. He won many prizes, but he knew death was coming, and he rang his publishing agent, and he said, everybody has got to die, but I always believed an exception would be made in my case. That's how we think. Death is always something that happens to someone else. Somebody else's family and someone else. And yet all of us know. All of us know, barring the coming again of our Lord and Savior, all of us one day will have to die. Scripture recognizes that. For we read in our reading, for since by man came death, by man also the resurrection of the dead. And the Bible recognizes that death is certain for each and every one of us. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. I want to say three things very quickly. I want to talk about a warmth that you find in the Word of God. And I've already shared some of this with the family out at the home. There's a recognition of death. God doesn't turn his back on you. On families when they find themselves dealing with bereavement. There's a warning associated with death. Paul talks about those who are in Adam and those who are in Christ. There's much talk in Northern Ireland about the political divide. This is the only divide that matters. You're either in Adam, in other words, you were born in sin and that's the way you are, or you're in Christ. You had that experience in your life when you realized you were a sinner and you trusted Christ as your own and personal Savior, and today you're in Christ. And so those listening at home, those standing outside, you're either in Adam or you're in Christ. There's a warning associated with death. There's a welcome associated with death because Paul talks here, but even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. There's a wonderful heaven waiting for those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think of the warmth, we discover in Scripture that the Lord Jesus Christ had a heart for those who were mourning. In Luke chapter 7, we read about the Lord. He was in a place called Capernaum, and he makes his way to a place called Nain, just a city called Nain. It was a 20 to 25 mile journey. In those days, of course, there are no vehicles. It was a full day's journey. When the Lord arrived at the city, there was a widow woman coming out of the city. And her only son had died. If the Lord had been 10 minutes late, he wouldn't have met them. 10 minutes early, he wouldn't have met them. But just at the right moment, the Lord was there just for this lady. Remember, he left the day before. And even before Raymond passed away, God knew what was going to happen. And the Lord was ready, and he's there for Janet, Amanda, and the family of these days. And he's promised that he'll be with them. He said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We read in Luke 7, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said, weep not. The Lord was moved by death. The Lord really meant it. I spoke, and Keith has mentioned it in his prayer, about the Lord Jesus when he wept at the grave of Lazarus. And there you could see the tears coming down his face, because he come face to face with death and he wept. Because he cares. Because he understands what you're going through. There's a warmth associated with death. I read about a young lad who was sent for a message by his mum on one occasion, but he was very late coming home, and she said, what happened to you? She said, I met a little boy and his bike was broken, and I stayed with him. And she says, what do you know about a bike? He says, I don't know anything, but he was crying and I just sat and cried with him. And the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes he just puts the arm around us. And he shares in our tears. And he shares in our troubled and our difficult times. There's a warmth from the Savior when we think about death. But you know, there's a warning here as well, isn't there? Because we're reminded here this afternoon, perhaps a week ago, you didn't expect to be at a funeral brought face to face with death. And yet it's a warning. It reminds us again of the uncertainty of life. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know what a day may bring forth. Maybe the next funeral could be your funeral. There's an uncertainty about death. There's something untimely about death. Here is Raymond, 60 years of age. Under normal circumstances, with reasonable health, you'd have expected Raymond to reach at least 80, perhaps even 80. But death is no respecter of ages. As Keith said in his prayer, James said, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. It's just like a breath on a cold morning. Now you see it, now it's gone. That's what life is like. Life at best is very brief, as Watson said. There's an uncertainty about death. We don't know when. There's something untimely. There's something unexpected about death. I didn't think the last time I spoke to Raymond was over in the field just across the way in the orange field. As we know it, we had the tent up there on the Sunday morning, as I said to the family. Raymond alive when the meeting was over. That wasn't all his fault. I remember speaking to him. That's the last time I spoke to Raymond. I didn't think it was going to be the last time that ever speak to Raymond. Raymond would have been at the drive-in church. If Leeds did well, there was a smile on his face. If Leeds were beaten, well, you're better to keep out of his way. Didn't think that was the last time I was going to talk to Big Stroke. I didn't know that's what he called him. Didn't know that was the last time. Who knows? Who knows what the next funeral will be, or whose it will be? It's uncertain, it's untimely, it's unexpected. You know, it's unavoidable. Someone said there are two certainties in life, death and taxes. And many of you will know some of the big companies that have been trading in the UK a few years ago, they were criticized because we discovered they paid no tax. Clever men can avoid paying tax. No one can avoid death. Because it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. There's a warning associated with death. You know, the Lord Jesus used a disaster one time to warn people about the need to repent. When we look around us, when we see what's happening in Afghanistan, when we look at the pandemic and so many that have lost their lives, if the Lord was here, he'd be saying, lest ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. And how you need to be saved. And how you need Christ as your Savior. There's a warmth in Scripture when the Bible talks about death. The Lord has promised to be with those who mourn. And I can assure Janet and Amanda and Olivia and Wilson, and their respective families, I can assure them that the Lord always keeps his word. Never breaks a promise. But there's a warning about death. Whether you're watching from home or standing outside or in the church, Who knows how long you've got left? Prepare to meet thy God. Jesus Christ went to Calvary. He paid redemption's price. And he offers salvation to the whosoever will. Doesn't matter whether you're orange or green. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a welcome associated with death. Paul talks about those who are in Adam, those who are in Christ, and how through one man, Adam, came death, through another man, Christ, came life. And because Jesus died and was buried and rose again, because he defeated sin and death and hell, those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ know that no matter what happens, it's well with their soul. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, you know, once the Apostle Paul got a glimpse of heaven, this is what he said: I am in the strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Paul says, whatever is in earth can't be compared to what's in heaven. Are you ready to go? Have you recognized you're a sinner? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? There's a warmth associated with death. There's a warning through death. There's a welcome for those who know and love the Savior. There once was a football team called Leeds City. And Leeds City were a wee bit like, I was going to say Chelsea or Man City. There was something going on with money which just didn't seem to be right. Players were receiving illegal payments. This was way back, I think, in 1904. And so the team, Leeds City, were kicked out of the league. And some of them got together and thought, well, what we'll do is we'll change their name. And they changed their name to Leeds United. And that was really the birth of Leeds United. If Raymond was here, Raymond would say, from something terrible came something really good, Leeds United. I want to apply it in a different way today. From something terrible, Raymond's passing, could come something really, really good if you were to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a difference it would make to your life. What a difference. What if you were next? Would you be sure of heaven? Let's just bow in a moment's prayer. Our Heavenly Father, just in the stillness of these moments, Lord, we're asking again that you will draw nigh to the family. Lord, may they even feel the very touch of the Lord upon them, like Daniel of old, when he felt the very touch of the Lord upon him. Lord, will you bless him? Lord, we thank you again for Raymond, for the fun we had with him, for the banter. And Lord, I'll miss Raymond, but Lord, it's nothing compared to how the family's going to miss him. Lord, we're praying for all who are listening today. Lord, will you speak? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We pray, Lord, that the Spirit of God will take the word of God and work in someone's heart, that they might find Christ even here this afternoon. So, Lord, continue with us now, for it's in our Savior's precious name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing the closing hymn in the order of service. O Lord my God, when I an awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe declared. Just a few announcements before we conclude our meeting. When we are singing this hymn, please remain standing while the remains are taken out of the church, and the close family will follow the remains out and up to the church. And the family have asked me that just the close family would go to the graveside. Raymond was very particular about COVID. And so in a way to honour him, they want to continue this. So just the close family up at the graveside, you're very welcome to stand outside. There's speakers there. You'll be able to hear what's going on at the graveside. I'll say a little bit about what's going to happen after the burial, and you'll have an opportunity to speak to the family. If you could, please bear that in mind. And I'll say a little bit about how we'll leave the building. But if you do let the family leave with the remains first of all, and then I'll say a little bit about how the rest of us can exit the building safely. We'll stand to sing together this great old hymn, O Lord My God. Let's stand.
Thank you.
Once the remains are taken out, the immediate family will leave. If you're sitting at the front of the church, please, those nearest this door, leave this way and try and leave in order. And if you're sitting towards the back of the church, then again, those rows nearest the back door, if you will leave first, please. And everyone will get out safely and very, very quickly. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for that sense of thy presence. And Lord, now we do pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be our portion today and indeed until Jesus comes. For it's in and through our Saviour's precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.